Well, church, let's just pray for a moment. Lord God, we just ask that you open up your word for us again and afresh today. May it enliven us. May it give us light to our path. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. Now, church, we are in our second week of our preaching series, which is looking at the seven I am statements found in John's gospel. And interestingly, you know, as Christians, we are meant to actually understand the words, the ways, and the works of Jesus Christ, so that we may become more like Jesus in our life. You know, we've had demonstrations today about the light shining through us and the light of Jesus shining through us. It's about becoming more like Jesus day in, day out. And what better way to actually understand more about Jesus than actually to understand a bit about how Jesus described himself through the Gospel of John. And we have these seven I am statements. And today we're looking at the second one in our series, which is, I am the light of the world. So Jesus said, I am the light of the world. His statement about who he is, found in John 8, chapter 12. Now, give you a little bit of history, a little bit of understanding about where the biblical scholars think that this statement was actually made and happened, is they actually think that Jesus made this I am statement about being the light of the world during the Jewish feast of the Tabernacles. And there's one main ceremony that they have called the Feast of the Illumination of the Temple. Okay, so got that? The Feast of the Illumination of the Temple. And most commentators actually think that Jesus proclaimed himself to be the light of the world at this illumination ceremony. Can you see how they're joining together already? I've got some nods. I hope everybody's with me so far. And to give you a little bit, they had four big light lampstands, and they had big golden bowls on the top, and they'd fill them with oil. And big, huge menorahs, and the four of them were placed around the court of the women. So not in the court of the men or the holy of the holies, but that second outer court of the temple. And they would actually have to climb up a ladder and to light them. And they would actually use the old robes of the priests as the wicks for the candles. So you can kind of, very kind of special ceremony kind of thing. And it's said that the light from those four big lampstands would light up Jerusalem. The light from the temple would fill the city of Jerusalem. We know that when you light a candle, have you ever lit a candle or an oil? What happens when it runs out? It flickers and dies, doesn't it? Hold this in the scene that Jesus is proclaiming he is the light of the world against something that will flicker and die. Jesus is our everlasting light. He's the light that shines for us, a light that shines in the darkness. John actually has a huge amount of references to the light and how the light overcoming the darkness, and we're going to explore some of these as we go along today. I'm going to delve into a number of different passages through the Bible. I'll put some up on the screen as we go along. But I want us to take a moment. We actually have a beautiful sunny day today, don't we? And just think about this for a moment, that we tend to take it granted that we have sun shining, that we have light that comes. It's just part of our world. But if we think about it for a moment, we have got this immense nuclear reaction going on in the sun. It would dissolve anything that we would have here on Earth if it was placed in it. There's so much energy there. But we and on Earth are placed in just the right space, that we are orbiting the sun in just the right space, that water exists in liquid form, that we may have enough heat for us to live and survive. We are in the Goldilocks zone, so to speak, when we talk in astrophysical kind of things, that habitable zone. It just blows my mind that God has placed us there and provides a light. Without the light, we would have no life. And I love that. Without the light of the sun, we would have no light. When Jesus says, I am the life of the light of the world, he's talking about that we have life through him. Each and every one of us have life through him. So what does the Bible say about when Jesus proclaims himself as he is the light of the world? And let's delve into this. Firstly, you know, when Jesus proclaims that as the light, that he is the light of the world, Jesus is saying that he is the light of life. And let me just put up that little passage there from John 8, verse 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. You will have light that leads to life. Guidance gives you direction, gives you life, gives you understanding. Both in Luke and Matthew also remind us about how we desperately need the light of life in our life. Before Jesus was born, the father of John the Baptist has a prophecy being fulfilled by the Holy Spirit about John coming there. And I just want to read to you this. And it comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 76 to 79. And it says, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will be preparing the way for the Lord. So this is about John the Baptist preparing the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins because of God's tender mercy. The morning light from the heaven is about to break upon us. Notice that. The morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death and to give us the path of peace. Hear the prophecy about John the Baptist as being the one that's proclaiming the Messiah, Jesus to be coming, that is going to give light to us in our darkness. Hear that. The proclamation that we have life and light because of what God is doing in our life. At the very beginning of Jesus' ministry in Matthew 4, verses 13 to 16, so Matthew 4, verse 13 to 6, says this about Jesus. And he went to Nazareth, then left there and moved to Capernaum beside the Sea of Galilee to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali. This fulfilled what God said through the prophet Isaiah. Notice this going back to a prophecy about the Messiah. In the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, beside the sea beyond the Jordan River in Galilee, where so many Gentiles lived, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. Notice that that's what's happening. It's a prophecy of the Messiah coming, is that those who are far from God are sitting in darkness. Those who are far from God are sitting in darkness, but Jesus brings light. He brings great light. And it goes on, and for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. Prophecy of the Messiah, of the coming of Messiah, prophecy of Jesus being the light to the world, to those that are living in darkness, those who are living without God's light in their life. You know, we desperately need the Jesus in our life. He's the only true light of life. Jesus gives us life and life everlasting. What would it be like? You know how I referenced having the sun there giving us light? What would it be like if we had no sun? Just think for a moment. Would we even exist? It would be cold, it would be dark, it would be death. If the sun was just, you know, in the sky, was just a fraction weaker, this planet would be frozen. I encourage you to know the full light of Jesus Christ in your life. Not to have this weak, minuscule thing, not to have nothing, but to know that Jesus is the light of our life. Because otherwise, we're going to be wandering around in darkness. We won't have a guide for our life. We need to know his words and his ways and the works and to have that as part of who we are. Because Jesus is the light of the world and Jesus actually brings life to us. He's the light of life. When Jesus also proclaimed that he is the light of the world, he also did something else. he also gives glory to God in that proclamation. And notice that he goes on in that reading that we had, that he, you know, the Pharisees challenge why, how he could make such a statement that he is the light of the world. And he goes on, he says, oh, well, it's because of my Father. It's because of my relationship with my Father. That is why I can proclaim this. And he gives glory to the Father. Jesus points out this truth to us about who he is, that he is the light of the world. I want to take you to a section where Jesus is talking to another Pharisee called Nicodemus in John chapter 3. And this is where we get the John 3:16. But I want to actually delve into a little bit after this, because often we just go, John 3:16, fantastic, lovely. Let's just go a little bit further. And let me read it for you. And I'll put up the section that I want us to hear, which is verses 18 and 19. I'll put it up on the screen for you. So let's hear from 16 onwards to there. For this is how God loved the world. We heard that. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world not to be the judge of the world. Notice the reading that we had. Jesus wasn't coming to judge. He's coming to give light and life, to give hope for us. Into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light, listen to this, God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near, for the fear of their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light so that others can see that they are doing what God wants. Hear that? It is the light of God working through us that shines out into the world. It is the fact that we want to be close to Jesus that we come into the light. It's about, you know, when we use that expression of come into the light, it's stepping out of ignorance and darkness and saying, understand the truth. Understand the truth of who God is in your life, what it means for you, and how to take that on board. Step into that. Accept the glorious nature of Jesus Christ in your life. Jesus gives glory to God in all of this. And we see this in another episode that we have, and I just want to delve into Matthew 17 for a moment, and on the Mount of Transfiguration, when Jesus is transfigured into what? Glowing light. You know, his full presence is known, and they say he just glows with this light. He's transformed before Peter, James, and John. And in Matthew 17, chapter 17, verse 2, tells us that Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as the light. God revealed his glory through the light. Not the only case that we see the light being shown as Jesus coming into the world and being part of it. In Acts chapter 26, verses 13 to 15, we have the Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, his experience, his challenge that Jesus gives him on the road to Damascus, his conversion. And let me just read it to you. This is actually in Acts 26. This is actually Paul recounting his story of encountering Jesus on the road to Damascus to the King Agrippa. So he's giving an account of why he believes in Jesus Christ, why the light of Christ is working through him. And listen to what he says. About noon, your majesty, so he's talking to King Agrippa, as I was on the road, a light from heaven brighter than the sun shone down on me and my companions. We all fell down and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is useless for you to fight against my will. Who are you, Lord? I asked. And the Lord replied, I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. So here he is accounting, he's saying, Jesus is the light of the world. He has shone into my life and shown me where I'm wrong, my darkness in my life, and he changed me. giving an account of who Jesus is in our life. Isn't that amazing? And through all of this, when Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world, he is always proclaiming and saying that his Father is the one. He gives glory to God in all of this. He is God here with us, but he gives glory to God, the Father, as well. The third little aspect I want us just a little focus on, when Jesus proclaims that he is the light of the world. So when as the light of the world, Jesus gives us fellowship into the family of God. So when we delve a little bit further out, and we look at a number of other passages where, and John wrote a number of letters. So in 1 John chapter 1, verses 3 to 7, we also see this. And it says, "We proclaim to you that we ourselves," so this is John speaking here, "have actually seen and heard that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We're writing these things so that you may fully share our joy." Notice that, it's talking about the fellowship of coming together. "This is the message we heard from Jesus and now declares to you, God is light. And there is no darkness in him at all." So that's the purity. That's where you're coming, that God is pure in motive and understanding. There is nothing that we cannot, you know, that is hidden in there. God is light. There is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. Notice that. If we continue to not live out Jesus' will in our life, we're not doing as Jesus did, if we aren't becoming more like Jesus, then we are lying to ourselves about living in the light. We're not practicing the truth. But if we are living the light as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. Notice that it is proclaiming that we will have fellowship with each other in this family of Christ. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. For us Christians, if we are walking the light as he is the light, so as Jesus is the light, we have a great fellowship with other believers. We have a great fellowship with God our Father in heaven. We have, you know, with God the Son, with Jesus Christ. We have it with the Holy Spirit. We have this great fellowship because the light of life is shining through us. We have this great fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ because of what God has done. And it doesn't matter whether we are here in Pittwater, whether we're down the road in Mona Vale, whether it is across the country, whether it is in Zimbabwe or Haiti or wherever it might be, we are in fellowship with believers around the world because Jesus is the light of life for us. We can have this great fellowship. And God gives us, you know, this new birth into the family of God. And in John 12, verse 36, and it says this, "To put your trust in the light while there is still time." Notice how I said John referred to Jesus as being the light. And he uses that phrase, you know, in one of the I am statements about who Jesus says he is. He's the light, he's the purity, he's the hope, he's life. Every time we hear this statement, "I am the light of the world," everybody knew at that time that if you didn't have light, you had death. And Jesus is the life that we have. Put your trust in the light while there is still time. That's put your trust into Christ. And then you will become children of the light. You'll become like him. Believe in Jesus and live as Jesus has taught us. Ephesians 5 verse 8, the Apostle Paul goes on further, says, "You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So do that. Live out what Jesus has done in our life. Understand the words, the ways, the works of Jesus Christ and start to live them out in your life. And as the light of the world, Jesus gives us fellowship with the family of God. Now, I want to wrap up. And as we're thinking about these I am statements, about how Jesus proclaims who he is through illustrations, through statements about the nature of God and the nature of life, that we actually see insights into the character and nature of Jesus Christ. We see insights into who Jesus truly is for us through his own words. But it also gives us an insight into our own spiritual walk in life. Is there places of darkness in your life? You know, a place where Christ hasn't touched you, a place where you hide it off to families and friends, where you're not letting the light of Christ work into your life, where you go, actually, I have not lived up to the standards. Is there somewhere where there's darkness that you need to let the light of Christ step into? And I'm not saying I am the most amazing person because I'm out here at the front. I actually want to say I have places of darkness myself. I think if we're honest, we all have a place of darkness, a place where we just don't live it up. And what I want to be saying to you as a church, I will continue through reading the scriptures, through prayer, through fellowship with other believers. I'm always going to be wanting to be challenged. I'm always going to be wanting to be stepping further into becoming more like Christ in my life. Not to let everything else start compounding and becoming part of the things that draw me away into darkness. And let me just say this. There's a lot of attraction out there to step away from the light of Christ. There's a lot of ways to try and draw you away, little by little. And the thing is that the more you take little steps away, the further you are from the source of light. And as you know, and that illustration I was talking about, that the sun and being in that perfect Goldilocks zone of life that just is abundance, as we move away from Christ, the source of life, if we step away from that, then we don't have life. Because Jesus is the one that brings hope into our lives. Jesus is the one that brings good news, that we are not alone, that we are together here with God, and God gives us hope. God gives us meaning. And our lives, as we start to reflect who Christ is in our lives, what it means is we start living more like Jesus, that we start shining our light into the world around us, into our families, into our friends, into our relationships, then into our communities. And that changes the world because of what Christ has done for us. So church, how about you pray with me? Oh Lord God, we just give you thanks for this amazing statement that Jesus said, that he is the light of the world. Oh Lord, we just ask that if there's darkness in our life, if this is a place that we are hiding, if there's a place that we are not letting you into, Lord, we ask today that you break down that barrier that we have created. We break down that wall that is dividing our darkness from your light, so that your light may flow in and overcome all of the darkness that is in our life, that may take over that space. Let us be a refuge in you, Lord. Let's find refuge in who you are and what you have done for us. Let's find refuge in the fact that you give us hope, that you give us security, that you give us life that is abundance. Lord God, we just pray today that if we are living in darkness and we have not stepped into your light, that we make that moment, we make that statement, that we make that commitment that I'm going to step and follow Christ in my life. Lord, you are my Lord, my Savior. You are the light in my life. May I guide the path that I walk. May I walk in your life so my footsteps are sure. My path is in the direction you guide. We ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.